Okay, so just to recap quickly, we are looking at what atonement's all about. And so over the past few weeks, we've been spending a lot of time just understanding the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. So when we looked at Romans chapter 1, and we read over there in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. Very interesting to spend time on those two, on those words, the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I'm going to come back to the scripture now. But for those who just walked in over there, we're busy looking at the power of the blood of Jesus and how to appropriate it, how to loose it. Jesus speaks about whatever we allow on earth, which has already been allowed in heaven, whatever we loose on earth, which has been loosed in heaven, whatever we disallow, whatever we forbid on earth, what has already been forbidden in heaven or disallowed in heaven, we have the authority as the body of Christ to do that. Okay, and so we are learning about the powerful truth of the gospel of God, because Christ was slain before the foundation of the earth, so it has already been loosed. Salvation has already been loosed in heaven before the foundation. So you and I have the authority to loose what Christ has done. We have the authority to forbid what Christ has forbidden. Okay, so that's why this is so important to understand what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit is really helping us to understand when we pray in the name of Jesus, when you're praying, He is a person, so His name and who He is cannot be separated. So what He has already done cannot be separated. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, now as we're getting better understanding of atonement, we know when we pray or whatever we do, whatever we say in His name, what's happening over there, we know the fullness of grace and truth is made known in His Son Jesus. We know that. So when we're praying in His name, we know grace and truth is being released. Okay? We know that in Christ Jesus, the incredible justice of God has been fully satisfied. So we know as we pray in the name of Jesus, there's a reality of justification fully satisfied in His Son Jesus. We know that. Okay? So when we're praying for a believer that maybe be battling with a fall in sin, whatever the case may be, we know that in Christ, no condemnation. We know that. So we can loose them from their guilt. Okay? Very important to understand how to advance the kingdom of God. Okay, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the name of Jesus. So we know when we pray in the name of Jesus, whatever we do, whatever we say in His name, we know that God's anger has been fully satisfied. Propitiation, remember, God's anger has been fully satisfied in His Son Jesus, because Jesus took our punishment. So we know when you're praying for people, we can understand, because we may be, you deserve what you, blah, 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 and we can be full of anger towards whatever the place. They have not yet found Christ. They need to find Jesus. So now, instead of us being angry about all that there, we rather channel that anger into advancing the kingdom of God, proclaiming the gospel, going to go and minister and share Jesus Christ to people, rather than sit back and on the armchair and moan and groan and be angry about everything. Okay, in the name of Jesus. We know that in the name of Jesus, what He has done as our substitute. Remember? The two goats. And today we'll look at that, because it goes a lot in understanding redemption. So we know as we have communion, we know that the blood of Christ, remember the day of atonement, the blood of Jesus, the first goat, was undefiled. Christ's blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's no forgiveness of sin. There's no cancellation of man's sin. The first goat represents Jesus' unblemished, sinless blood to forgive us our sins so that we have forgiveness. The second goat, remember then, the high priest would lay his hands on the second goat so that the sins of Israel will be placed onto that second goat, and that goat will now be released, remove the sins from the people. So in Christ's death, we know that aspect of his pure blood was our forgiveness. An aspect of his body was the removal of our sins. Very important. Then we understand what reconciliation is all about. So when we're praying in the name of Jesus, we understand that in Christ Jesus, that offense has been removed by the incredible blood and the body of Jesus Christ. So that offense that caused the barrier, that caused us, that caused that sin reality, that our very nature was rebellious towards God, that has been removed. And remember, reconciliation, a change needed to take place. So we have now become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has gone, so the sins have been removed. God remembers our sins no more. Okay, now we are a new creation in Christ. We are no longer from the Adamic realm. We are now in Christ Jesus. So now we can be fully reconciled because of Jesus. So we know when we are praying in the name of Jesus, all of this is working now. But receive it by faith. Let it become a reality. So that when you pray in the name of Jesus, it's not, you know, I'm praying in the name of Jesus. Now you've got understanding. You've added to your faith knowledge. So that we become more effective in the ways of God. And that's why this is so important, because God has placed us as believers in South Africa because he loves the people of our nation. He loves the people in our schools, in our workplaces, in our communities, in our towns, in our cities, in our homes. Simple as that. So he's given us the most powerful, powerful weapon, the power of Christ's death and resurrection. It is God's power for salvation. And so that is what we've been looking at over the past few, I think 2.5 years maybe. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And again, and let me just read there. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. That's why whatever we do, whatever we say, we do it in his name, so that the cross is not emptied of its power, because it's Christ's death and resurrection that we are proclaiming. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So the power of the cross of Jesus. What we've just been speaking about, reconciliation, the justification, propitiation, all of that cannot be separated from what Christ has done. It is God's power. So everything, so when we look now at redemption, it cannot be separated. So when we speak about redemption, all of this other stuff that we've been speaking about is fully involved with redemption. Okay, that is why, again, understanding the gospel is so important. God's good news, because it deals with everything. It doesn't just deal with a little thing. It deals with the total mess that sin brought in. It deals with the consequences. It deals with everything that happened when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. It deals with everything that to do with sin, and because there is sin, deals with Satan, who controls people because of sin. It deals with everything. Christ triumphed over Satan in his cross on the death. Okay. But it deals with all of that when we're speaking about salvation. Now, here we see in Romans chapter 1 quickly, in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation. Now, let's start looking at redemption a little bit over here. First of all, the power of God is God's ability. And so in order for what the mess that sin produced, Man did not have the ability to solve the sin problem. God had to do something. So it was God's ability. It was God has done. Okay? That's why it's a grace. It was everything is God's love for man that he sent his son Jesus Christ. And so it's all of God. So we see it's God's ability to save. And again, just that word salvation that we've been looking at all the time. As to rescue, to redeem, deliverance, prosperity, welfare, safety, all of that is in that word, salvation. But what's important for our purpose this morning is the name God, because it's theos. In other words, it means the creator of everything and the owner of everything. Redemption and ownership go together. Okay? So here all of a sudden, here the creator and the owner of all, his ability is involved to bring about the deliverance, to rescue people from their sin, to save the people from their sin. Okay? So keep in mind the ownership. Okay? It's important to get stuck over there with that ownership. Now, I want to go to Philippians in chapter 1, because here we see, let's start off here in Philippians chapter 2, sorry, in verse 6. The biblical concept of redemption is to redeem a thing that is rightfully one's own, but for a time is in the possession of another whose price must be legally met. God, the owner of all things, okay? Redemption, okay? What redemption is all about is to redeem, okay? I'll explain all that now. To redeem a thing that is rightfully one's own, but for a moment, temporarily, it now is in the possession of someone or something else. But in order to get that back, there has to be the price that that other person has put up there. There needs to be a legal transaction to fully pay that price so that you can get back which is rightfully yours. God is the owner of all things. Who do we belong to? Okay, it's important to be able to understand redemption. Ownership, we belong to Him. Because of the fall, we have been temporarily removed. We belong to sin, we are slaves to sin. So a price had to be paid legally in order to get us back out of sin, back into the family of God, where we actually rightfully belong. Okay, redemption in a nutshell. Okay, so, and that word legally is a very important. That's why when we look at justification, it's God as the judge. He's declaring you have been justified. He's declaring as the judge, sin has been dealt with. The penalty of sin, the wage of the sin is death. That's been dealt with in my son Jesus. So now I declare you as if you've never sinned before. It's God who's made that through his son, the legal declaration, no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So all the time, legally, this is like a legal reality when we're speaking about the atonement sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Philippians chapter 2, let's have a look. This is concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. emphasis. The Son of God comes into a human body. Important. Important. The name Jesus, he came to save his people. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. He came to save his ownership, his people from sin. Not the Jews only, his. Important, put it in your memory there as we carry on there. Now in John chapter 1, so here we see the incarnation of Jesus Christ taking on the form of a man, of a human. Okay? In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was God in the beginning. This is Jesus Christ. Through him, notice now, all things were made. Without him, nothing has been made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. In other words, Christ is the life, and Christ is the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Then we carry on in verse 10 concerning Jesus. He was in the world. Now you start to see reconciliation, what redemption is all about. I mean, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own. Redemption, ownership. God created all things, and he owns all things. God created man. We belong to God. Sin came. We've been captured by sin. We are slaves to sin. The wages of sin is death. So to the legal payment has to do something in order to deal with death, spiritual and physical death. A price has to be met to pay that. The wages of sin is death. So a price has to be paid to pay for that reality of spiritual and physical death. Okay, so now we see he himself was... He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. All of a sudden, we're starting to see that in Christ, children of God, ownership. Something happened with Jesus that enabled us once again to no longer be children of sin, slaves to sin, but now to be children of God, ownership, because we belong to him. All mankind, all things have been created by him, in him, for him, Christ Jesus. We belong to God. You will understand the depth of this as we go on, as you get this established in there, in understanding how to pray for nations. And now we carry on and we see over here, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So no longer the Adam humanity. Now we are the Christ humanity. No longer the reality of the fall of Adam and Eve and the consequences and the result of Satan having control over humanity because of sin. We are now in Christ Jesus, and the result of his life, that is our reality as children of God, not born of natural descent of Adam where the bloodline, the sinful blood, fallen nature gets passed on. Now we're in Christ, that's been broken, so we are a new creation. Ownership, redemption. Let's carry on. Now, to get the background to all of this so it makes sense, We've got to go to the Old Testament where we start to see the practice of redeeming property, redeeming people. So in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 25, and again, redemption, yeah, even in the Old Covenant, redemption in the Old Testament expresses the thought of setting free by a payment of a ransom price. And we know ransom, if you get kidnapped, they ask for a ransom. Okay? So that which is yours, that child is yours, is now in possession of somebody else, has taken ownership, they're demanding a ransom, so there's a price paid to get that which is rightfully yours back to you. We are God's. Rightfully, we are God's. We have been kidnapped, in a sense, by sin. There's a ransom. Sin says death must be paid. That's why Christ had to die. Death has to be paid. So Jesus comes, pays the legal price over there to the wages of sin. His resurrection shows the victory. Now it's been legally paid. So now we are in Christ Jesus and we have eternal life. Okay, so now we again, rightfully, because we rightfully belong, now we are children of God. We're living as children of God. So here we see in Matthew 20, Leviticus 25. Now what's important over here, and I think this will help us understand, is that when it comes to the Old Covenant, and it's the same now, when you'll understand now why I've been speaking about Christ's incarnation. When it comes to the Old Testament, let me read here in verse 48. You can go through the whole chapter. It's all about redeeming property and redeeming people. And then it comes here, if an alien or a... See, if you got into debt, for instance, now, if you got yourself into a debt and you could not pay the who you owe the money to, whatever, you can mortgage your property. So your property, it's yours, but now it's temporarily in the ownership of that person until that debt is legally fully paid. Now, if you could not pay that debt, you then could mortgage yourself and become a slave to whoever you owe money to. So you are selling your ability, you are selling your strength, your life to be able to work until the debt is paid. If you could not do that, or even if you in the process working there, only a relative could come and pay the legal price. The incarnation of Christ Jesus. Only a relative could pay the ransom price for that person to be released from that and back having their own property again and not being a slave. Okay? Ruth. Let's go to Ruth chapter 4. Let's read here in verse 4 to verse 6. Remember Ruth and Boaz. Let me go to verse 2 over here. Because now, verse 1 would be easier. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer, only the relative is able to redeem the person or the property. And this is where we start to understand kinsman redeemer. Okay, so when the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and let's sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz then took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did. So then he said to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." Okay? Relatives. "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, On the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth, the Moabites, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. At this, the kinsman redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Now, this is an incredible insight to the prophetic picture of Christ as our kinsman redeemer. Why did Jesus have to become a man? You get it? Because man, God created us in his image. And so only a relative could redeem us. And so Jesus left his glory. He came as a man in a man's body in order to redeem man from being taken captive by sin and Satan. The powerful reality. So when we have the bread, Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. Now you'll be able to understand, as I eat of this bread, this is your body, flesh, the flesh, humanity. And because of your humanity, you came and you redeemed me from being in possession of sin. So now, because you're the Son of God and fully man, I now belong to God. No longer am I slave to sin. Christ, our kinsman, redeemer. The good news of God. You see how powerful it is. So now we begin to understand that whatever sin has done to mankind, Christ is sinless. His blood is pure. That is why he had to come as a man, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Because only in Christ Jesus, all of a sudden we start to understand the concept and the reality and the love of God in sending his Son Jesus and not being with that fallen nature in order to redeem us, to pay the price with his body to set us free, so that we once again are reconciled, we once again rightfully in the hands of our living God as his children. Now let's carry on. Let me read another scripture here in Colossians chapter 1. So when we saw there in John chapter 1 and verse 14, he came to his very own. Powerful, but his very own did not understand and rejected him. But those who received, because you need to be born of the Spirit draws people, and those who believed that Christ is the Son of God, is the Savior, what took place there? They were now no longer born of Adam, they were now born of Christ Jesus, born of the Spirit. Okay, total redemption. There's a future redemption, but we live now in the reality of us being totally redeemed. Okay, we see that redemption is a now and a future, so much bigger as time comes. So in Colossians chapter 1, let me just read verse 15 onwards. Again, our Jesus Christ. We'll go verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption. Okay? We now rightfully belong to God. That's why we are now in his kingdom and no longer in the kingdom of darkness, because our sins have been forgiven as we looked at the reality of reconciliation last time. Substitution. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. So again, we see ownership. Christ has created us. Christ comes down as a man, and people didn't. His own. He came to save his own people from their sins. We have been created by Christ. We are His own. He came to save us from our sins, humanity. Okay? And so, yeah, we carry on, and he sees over here, and we read over here, once you were alienated, or let's go verse 20. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy. Christ is our holiness in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Isn't that powerful? That's why in Christ there's no more condemnation. God has declared us righteous. If you continue in your faith and established and firm, not moved from the hope that held out in the gospel. As we conclude now, questions I think we need to ask ourselves. What rightfully belongs to God? Everything. What is ours that seems to have the hands of sin and darkness all over it? You see, now when you pray in the name of Jesus, understand, Jesus, no. That's what I see in my family. That's what I see in my family. That's what I see in my family. No. Because your blood has redeemed. And I will not allow the enemy to take what belongs to Jesus Christ. Use the authority in the name of Jesus. Use the authority that you have in the name of Jesus. Use it. Use it. What do you see that belongs to God, or do you see the wickedness and the enemy having a field day? How do you pray for a nation of South Africa? God has placed us in South Africa. How do we pray for South Africa, which belongs to God? This is why this is so important. Christ came as a man with His blood and His death to pay the legal price to set a nation free that rightfully belongs to God, that's been in the grips of Satan for so long because of the sinful nature of mankind. How do we pray for South Africa? Rooted in the understanding of redemption. No longer being passive and looking at what's happening in this South Africa. Now it's time, guys. That's why God is teaching us the authority to pray in the name of Jesus. Now it's our time to be able to say, no, we understand the blood of Christ has purchased this nation that belongs to God. Satan, you no longer have the hold over it. We have the message and the ministry of reconciliation. Now we pray, God, send out the evangelists. Now we pray in the name of Jesus. God, let there be people, your family, your ecclesia, that's been called out for government, kingdom government. We call them out in the name of Jesus so that they can be actively involved and not be lovers of this world, but be lovers of God. Focus, kingdom-mindedness. Focus on why we live and have a purpose and understanding. Guys, we cannot sit back and just look and say, oh, it's happening. God loves the people too much. He placed us in the nation. That's why we live. We cannot blame the government. They're captured by sin. They're just doing what sin says they must do. They're slaves to sin. We know better. We know the power of the blood of Jesus. Redemption. Redemption. Christ came as a man to redeem and to take back everything that sin has done so that we can be set free. And that's why God loves the people of our town so much. We've been born again. to evangelize and to share and to minister whatever way we can. We have the good news. Guys, please stop feeling sorry for yourselves. What more can we say? Don't feel sorry for yourself. Man, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Get up and begin to understand, Lord, today it stops. Because I belong to you. And everybody that's connected to me, whether it's a marriage, whether it's children, we belong to you. I'm in this nation, and I believe this nation belongs to you, because in Christ he created all things for himself. You see, it belongs to Jesus. Christ came to redeem that which belongs to him. So, we have an amazing, amazing time. So wherever we go, become conscious now. And I'm going to do a prayer just now, and I want to do a prayer so that you understand how to stand against resistance of the enemy. Because now we're going into, as special forces, we're going into for a nation, we're going for families, we're going for as many things now, and you're going to have backlash, but it's time for you to be able to make sure that you're able to stand and not be wimps in the kingdom of God. You see? No longer self-pity and self-pity. No, renew the mind. Take your thoughts captive. Get into what the Word of God says. No, I'm not going to believe that lie. I'm not going to allow that to influence me. I'm going to be love no matter what, and I'm going to love no matter what. Guys, rise up. Rise up. We're in a mighty kingdom of God, a mighty army of God. Liberators in the kingdom. Because we are King Jesus, what he has done for you and I, for mankind. That's why we go back to the very beginning of atonement. The atonement is universal for all people. All people. All people. Christ's blood is sufficient for all mankind. He came to redeem all mankind, all things in heaven and on earth has been reconciled back. All things, whether in heaven or on earth, that all things means all things. The power of the name of Jesus. Now we understand what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. A little bit better. A little bit better now. Now, praise God, there's a faith that the Holy Spirit is imparting into us to be able to believe that when we pray, the power of the cross is activated. When we pray, the angelic realm is just, yes, at last they believe. Let's go and kick some serious butt and save people's lives and stop evil. Renew the mind. Renew the mind. To the problems, renew the mind. To the situations, renew the mind. So we don't have a weak mind controlled by all the stuff that we see and feel and that they know. We've got a mind that is solid in the mind of Christ. Christ's mind says, I've redeemed. Why are you feeling sorry for yourself? I've redeemed. Come on, rise up. Begin. Begin by faith to take hold of the stuff. And that's placed in that town. So when God showed, and that's why this is important, when God spoke to me about what's the answer for our nation, and he just showed me that vision, the centrality of the cross of Jesus, it sounded good. But now we know a little bit more of what he meant. God's answer for South Africa is his son Jesus, because Christ has redeemed. It belongs to God. We need to understand the power of the blood of Jesus. The power of the cross of Christ Jesus. Lest it be emptied of its power because we're so busy with our own human wisdom and that. Our own human solutions to try and solve the problems. The waste of time. Let's be focused. Christ is the answer. And let's see. So as we have communion, we're going to eat the bread. And now all of a sudden the bread, you're going to realize this bread is your body as a human You've redeemed me. This blood, oh, you've removed the sin. You've forgiven me. You've made atonement. So there's the forgiveness of sin. Sin has been removed from me. Not guilty. Recognizing the body of Christ, recognizing the Lord's death until he comes. There's the power. And God will do much, as we have communion this morning, as he's already been doing much. You might want to join me in this prayer. Because often what happens, there may be a person or knows there that somehow they don't belong to Jesus. Christian, but they don't belong. There's still something in their lives. And I want to pray a prayer, and it's going to be your declaration. It's going to be an agreement where you can just simply, and that's why the last song is this reality, that this body belongs to you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, both of those chapters there speaks about where this body has been purchased by the blood of Christ and belongs to him. In Revelation chapter 5, again we see over there that Christ's blood has purchased us, redeemed us, and we belong to him. And when it comes to 1 Corinthians 6, sure, it's such a big thing that I'm just saying what the Holy Spirit is saying. I don't want to be insensitive. There's such a big thing in the reality of our bodies. Who does it belong to? There's a lot of soul ties. Who does it belong to? See, there's a lot of areas in our lives that we may be having and allowed the enemy access. And today I want to make a declaration, and I appreciate it if you all be loud with me so that anybody, it's not an awkward situation. And we're just going to say, Jesus, your blood has purchased me. My body belongs to you. And every area that Satan has hold in this body, no longer, because I make a declaration, Christ's blood has purchased me. I belong to him. Okay, so we'll have to stand with me, and we can just pray that if you want to pray it with me. But let's pray it aloud so that no one's embarrassed at all. Oh. Father God, today, thank you that you have showed us that through Jesus Christ, we've been redeemed. We belong to you. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It belongs to you. And therefore, in the name of Jesus, every portion of sin, the effects of sin, and any demonic influence in this body and over my life, today I say no longer, because I belong to Jesus. His blood has redeemed me, and this body now belongs to Jesus Christ. And I command every evil spirit out, every evil spirit that's influencing my life, stop in the name of Jesus. And Father, thank you once again for the powerful blood of Christ as we have communion now, celebrating our freedom, celebrating our deliverance, but celebrating that we are no longer orphans. We are children of God, sons and daughters of yours, Father. And we thank you as you poured your love into our hearts, that we may know the reality of being loved by you. In Jesus and through your Son, we say thank you. Amen. Amen. Please come and help yourself. If we speak the redeeming blood of Christ over our children and over our grandchildren in the name of Jesus. And every area where the enemy has taken our children captive, or grandchildren or great-grandchildren captive, right now we declare the redeeming power, and we loose the blood of Christ over our children, over our grandchildren, over our great-grandchildren, in the name of Jesus. Be loosed from the power of sin and from where the enemy has taken you captive. And again, now we release and we the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring about the truth found in Christ Jesus, who received the angelic realm to bring about the manifestation of the power of the blood of Christ in the redeeming work of His sacrifice. And we thank You. And now, Father, we come personally yet, and we speak and we release the power of Your blood over our lives. And in the name of Jesus, we receive and loose the blood of Christ down into our bloodlines. But also we release and loose the power of the redeeming blood over our lives in the area of purpose, in the area of identity, in the area of why we exist. We receive the power of Your blood, loosing us from what sin has done and what people's opinions and how we've been trapped in all kinds of stuff, totally free. And I declare now in the name of Jesus, the freedom where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. The blood, the redeeming blood of Christ has freed us. We belong to Jesus. We belong to the Father. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, purchased by the blood of Christ. We belong wholly to Him, for His purpose and for His glory. And now by Your Spirit, Father, I ask for dreams and visions. I ask for confirmation. I ask for such an awakening of why we exist, and that we find such a freedom in our desires, and such a desires after Your ways, Father, that we may walk in Your ways as Christ walked in Your ways. And this we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.